This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. And I do apologize to those who had longer of our social media, because they had the scripture I'm preaching, not the scripture that you have for everybody. But it's from 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7. And it reads, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Our subject tonight, let's take a walk. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, we ask right now in the precious and powerful name of Jesus that you speak as only you can speak. Let us hear your words, but not just let us hear your words. Let us follow your word to do your will, your way. Help us to walk in the light, the beautiful light. Help us to be sincere in everything we do that you might get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you. We love you. We adore you. Speak to us now, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's take a walk. It's my understanding that walking is great exercise. I've been told that walking is great exercise. And I can tell you, when I was much younger, I thought walking wasn't really exercise. You know, I said, walking, you know, everybody walks, you know. Walking, what's the big deal about walking? But the older I got, I realized how important walking is. Brother Horace Scandrick told me when I first became diabetic, he said, "Pastor, all you have to do is walk at least 20 minutes a day. You walk 20 minutes a day, you'll be all right." And I thought that was easy to do, you know, 20 minutes a day, just take time out. But there's some things about walking that we need to understand. Walking takes time. And you see, most people can walk longer than they can run. But walking does take time. I just kind of want to get that picture. Walking takes time. When we talk about walking, you have to really put in your mind you're going to walk. Walking takes time. Also, walking takes energy. You can't sit still and walk at the same time. No. Walking takes energy. You can't lay down and walk at the same time. You can't sit on that couch and walk at the same time. You have to exert energy. You have to exert energy if you're going to walk. You see what I'm saying? But not only that, walking produces great benefits. Say it's good for your heart. The cardiologists say it's good for your heart if you can walk. And the cardiologist encourages us to walk because it strengthens our heart. Is there anybody here who needs a healthy heart? Hallelujah, hallelujah. But not only that, where you walk is extremely important. It's important that you can see where you're walking. You need to see where you're walking. You need to see what you're walking into. Can you see where you're walking? Can you see possible dangers in your path? Yeah, if you're walking at night, is there enough light so you can see? How many of you have done what I've done, and that's went to walking at night in your house? And for some reason, I don't know why we do this or why I do it. When you're walking in your house, for some reason, you just don't turn on the light because you feel like you know where everything is. And I've gone walking through the house thinking I know where everything is, and inevitably, I have kicked my toe because something jumped in front of me and wasn't there sometime before, but got there that night when the light wasn't on. It's just something about being able to see where you're walking. So seeing that we want to be excellent in kingdom building, especially since we've been building for 245 years, let's look at the importance of taking a walk with God during these dark and evil times. Yeah, let's take a walk. Why must we even consider honestly walking, and why must we consider honestly, especially walking with God? First point, your life will be better and brighter if you walk with God. Amen. Let me say that again. Your life would be better and brighter if you walk with God. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Let's turn darkness into light by being truthful. If you're walking in darkness, admit it and then quit. Quit stumbling around in the dark. Turn on the light. Do you realize when we talk about how difficult life gets? If you're not on a collision course with Satan, that means y'all going in the same direction. Let me say that again. If you're not bumping into Satan, if you're not in a collision course, if stuff not happening wrong, it might be because you and Satan go in the same direction. Jesus says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because he's with us. John 3:19-21 says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. To the proof of the verbal claims to be orthodox in our beliefs and to truly know God is a holy life, and for that there can be no substitute. A person who persists in sin cannot be in touch with God. The two states must mutually exclusive. You have light or you have darkness. Yes. Put it that way, we may well ask, well, how can anyone ever make such a claim? And what did John really have in mind? Well, there's two things we need to walk. Understand this about walking. Whenever you walk, walking suggests progress. Understand what I'm saying? Walking suggests progress. When you walk, you're going somewhere. That's deep, y'all. Walking suggests, you're moving. You're going somewhere. That might not seem like a big thing, but that's what we desire to do in our Christian life. Amen. We need to be getting closer to heaven. Yes. We need to be walking to God. We need to be walking in the light. Yes. Whenever we're walking, whenever we're moving, we should be moving closer to where God wants us to be. We're moving forward. Now, I know there's such a thing called a moonwalk. But we're talking about walking in the sun. Yeah, we're talking about walking in the sun, the S-O-N. Yeah, not moonwalking. We're talking about moving forward so God could get the praise, the honor, and the glory. No matter what we have done, no matter how we've done it, God loves us, and he gives us an opportunity to walk toward him. Let me say that again. See, there's some people who think, I've messed up, I've sinned, I've come short. I haven't been doing the things I ought to do. And so many times, even other Christians will make you believe that you can't have a right relationship with God because you have not lived a perfect life. Truth be told, ain't none of us lived a perfect life. And none of us have any reason, none of us have any cause to be looking down on somebody else. You never know where God has them. You never know what God is doing in their life, even though we may look at certain things. It always gets me when some folk can pick out sins of other folk and want to talk about how those other folk are living. And what even the pastor to preach about how the other folk are living and not preach about how they're living. God is saying to us, if I'm preaching about how any of us living, including myself, he's saying to us, whenever you're pointing a finger at somebody, you got four fingers pointing back at you. That's why even when we come to communion, he says, let a man, let a woman, let a person examine himself. Yeah, but before you start doing things, fixing other people and trying to get the speck out of somebody else, I'll take the beam out of yours. He's saying to us that if we walk in that, when we understand that walking takes time, and it takes time for us to sit and talk with God and be honest to ourselves. Amen. Take the time and pause and see if you're walking in darkness or if you're walking in the light. Take time to not redefine sin, because some of us could get to a point where we begin to look at some stuff and say, well, I'm not as sinful as they are. You know, at least I'm not going to bust hell wide open. You know, I might have to go through there on my way to heaven, but, you know, I know God loves me. But we got to understand that God is calling upon us to really be honest with ourselves and with him. It takes time for us to reflect. A true Christian will find that the searchlight of God's truth constantly exposing the parts in our lives that need to be confessed as sin and then left behind. God knows who we are. God knows what we've done. And walking in the light means living each day with God as the light. The nearer we come to God, the more conscious we shall become of our own sin and rebellion. The greatest of saints have always been conscious of themselves as the worst of sinners. Let me read the words of such a great saint, one who we look at, one who penned many books of the Bible. Listen to his words in 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 16. He says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, for whom I am the foremost. That's what Paul said. Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example of those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Apostle Paul admitted he's the chief of sinners. He admitted that he needed a relationship with Christ. He admitted that he needed to grow in Christ and that he needed to walk in the light. When you walk in the light, your life will get brighter. Proverbs 4, 18 to 19 says, but the path of the righteous is like a dawn, which shines brightly and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Understand that if our life is to be bright, it is bright because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is this. You know, it says as the dawn. Your life can only get brighter as you get closer. I know hardships will come, but when you're closer to God, those hardships don't seem as hard. Amen. Difficulties will come, but when you're walking with God, those difficulties are not as difficult. When you begin to give as God says give, when you begin to live as God says live, when you begin to love like God says love, I know many times we could get to a comfortable place and say, okay, I'm okay right here. But I want to challenge us as we move into 2023. I want to challenge us to expect more from God and to do more for God. Because we can walk in the light and receive everything God has for us. Amen. Secondly, fellowship will be bona fide and biblical. Yeah. Fellowship will be bona fide and biblical. 1 John 1, 7, the first part of it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. In other words, our fellowship is Bible-based. True fellowship is genuine. The positive correction which follows in verse 7 emphasizes fellowship with one another. That's fellowship among Christians. I'm looking in the Bible and wondering, why did Jesus spend so much time? Why does Paul spend so much time talking to the church about being able to be in fellowship with one another? Why is he constantly saying to us that we need to love each other? Of course, we need to love the world. We need to love others. But he comes to the church especially and says, we as those who are part of his church need to love one another. And I know it's because God realized we all are created in his image, but we all have different ideas. We have different things we want. We have different ways of thinking that we can get to what God wants us to get to. But he tells us over and over in his word to be patient with each other. He tells us over and over to forgive one another. He tells us over and over together to walk together in love. Amen. This passage says, this implies that the darkness John is especially concerned about in verse 6 is the attitude that imagines, I can have fellowship with God without fellowship with my fellow believers. He said, this is sin. This particularly applied to the false teachers who were dividing their followers from other Christians by claiming a superior knowledge and experience. John's point is that their attitude to others negates their claim to be walking in the light. They were teaching that you had to have do certain things and be a certain way or wear a certain thing or follow certain Jewish customs in order to be saved. Paul was saying, no. It's if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, rose from the grave, and you trust him, you're willing to follow him, you commit your life to him, that's what it takes, not all this other stuff. And folk began to look down on other folk because they were not doing certain things, or they were doing other things. They began to call, Paul started talking about how those who are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak, how the strong Christians ought to be able to be patient with the weaker Christians. Now, I know in terminology, when I think of strong Christians and weak Christians, we would think when they had these dietary concerns, we would think that the ones who said, I'm not going to eat that meat because I'm not going to eat that kind of meat because I'm living for the Lord. I'm just going to have vegetables because I'm thanking Jesus. I'm praising God. I'm only going to eat these certain things, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that because I'm holy and I'm saved. Some of us would think those are the strong Christians. Paul calls them the weak Christians. He said the strong Christians were the ones who could believe that Jesus died for their sins, rose from the grave, believe what he has done, and begin to trust him in that and know that it is well with their soul. And they could put up with the folk who were telling them, you better do all this other stuff. He was saying, listen, if you're strong and you know that you're firm in God, you don't have to put other people down. If you're firm in God, all you have to do is trust God and walk in the way God would have you to walk, live as he'd have to live, because if you do what God would have you do, you won't find yourself judging other folk in what they do. You will be an example for them. The point leads to this, which is that those who walk in darkness but claim to be in the light are actually redefining sin. The false teachers did not regard their unwillingness to value and love other Christians as sin. They minimized and excused it. Instead, they positively justified it as the grounds for their extra insight. Nevertheless, as John is to teach several times in the course of this letter, he teaches over and over, no one can truly love God without loving God's children. Amen. We are to fellowship. And what does that mean? That means we are all fellows in the same ship. Now think about that. If you're on the ship together and it's just y'all, you really don't want to sink that ship because you're going down too. Have you ever been in the canoe or one of those things that you're in it together and they tell you don't stand up in it? If you stand up in it and rock the canoe, you're not just not rocking the two people who you don't want on this canoe. You're rocking and you're going in too. We are all in the same ship. Listen, your life is getting better and brighter because your fellowship is grounded in the Word of God. Look at Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Ah. Walking, I said earlier, requires energy. It takes energy to forgive other folk. It takes energy to love like God says love. It takes energy to be patient with your enemies. It takes energy to do what God is asking and telling us to do, that we've been preaching down through the years, of how we ought to love, how we ought to care, how we ought to forgive, how we ought to share, how we ought to allow God's presence to be in the life of those who may not know him. It takes energy for us to be able to do that. And that's how we walk in the light. Christians who live in God's light do not find it difficult to walk together in fellowship. The light shows the way ahead and enables them to coordinate their actions and move forward in harmony. Where Christians are at variance or separate from one another, it is always true that someone is already walking out of fellowship with Christ. This does not mean that we all agree about everything, but that is not the essence of fellowship anyway. It's about loving one another and valuing one another so that we can agree to differ without severing the ties that bind us as one another, as sons and daughters of the light. Amen. Thirdly, our power will be beyond belief.
Come on now.
The last part of verse 7 says, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. To walk in the light means to become increasingly conscious of sin that would hinder our fellowship with God and our fellow Christians. And as that sin is revealed, not to run away into the darkness again, rather we bring it by faith to the God whose Son gave his life, that all our sins might be forgiven and removed. As we do, the barriers of fellowship are removed, and we continue in the relationship with God. Sin does matter. We dare not redefine it or pretend that sin does not exist. If it demanded the price of the blood of God's only begotten Son on the cross, then it is paramount, it is important that we also take sin seriously. Accepting God's definition of where and what we are by nature, and by receiving his abundant pardon and restoring love by grace, this becomes the outcome when we're walking in the light. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light. The benefits of walking. We talked about benefits of walking, but the benefits of walking in the light are astronomical. Matter of fact, the benefits are out of this world. Walking in the light produces benefits that won't just, you won't just feel better. You know, I had to walk a couple of weeks ago. It was kind of ironic how I went to the doctor, and right after I left the doctor doing all the examinations, when I left the doctor, I got back home, and just for some reason, it seemed like all my body started aching. And some issues, arthritis and all this started kicking in. And I felt so bad. I had to kind of roll out of bed, and I had so much pain. And I hadn't been walking. I hadn't been walking or anything. And it just seemed like the pain got worse and worse. And I decided, no. I ain't going out like this. Mm-mm. No, I mean, it was painful to step. It was painful to move. But I knew when I had been walking for at least 20 minutes a day that I was feeling better. So I got up. I got out of the house. And I started walking out, and I was bent over. I don't know who ever saw me. And I'm walking. I'm walking down the street, and I'm walking down the cul-de-sac. But I'm walking. And the pain was excruciating, but I just felt like if I could just walk it off. I just kept walking.
I just kept walking. And I didn't realize that even though I was in pain and walking, because I would have been probably afraid to walk if I didn't already have a conversation with the doctor. The doctor's already said I was all right, but I'm yet in pain. But I got to walk. So I'm walking and I'm walking. And first when I started walking, it was very painful. I mean, it was just painful, but I said, I got to walk. And if I walk and get back home and I'm still feeling the same, I walk and it's not better tomorrow, I'm going back to the doctor. But I walked. And I walked a little further than I normally would walk. And then as I walked a little more, it wasn't as painful as it was. I kind of got used to walking and I could straighten up a little bit, you know, and kept on walking. By the time I got home, I was walking. I was walking. And I realized as long as I kept on walking, it was all right, even though all the other conditions were still there. What am I saying to us? I'm saying when we're walking in the light, I'm not saying you have everything solved right then and all the problems and all the situations, everything you're going through, that there won't be any pain in your life. I'm just saying the more pain you have, you ought to keep on walking. No matter what you're going through, just keep communicating with God and keep walking in the light. Keep letting God know, because the doctor's already checked you out. And the doctor already said, you're all right. The doctor already said, well, how do you know you're all right? Because the doctor sent his son, who came through 40 and two generations. And Dr. Jesus said, not everything going to be all right. He said, everything is all right. No matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult the time may be, no matter what they said, that they said, that she said, that he said, you might have said, but they didn't say what you said, but you know they said what they said about you. You ain't got to worry about all that. Because God said, I got your front. He said, I got your back. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He'll be with you. He'll guide you. If God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. You ought to walk in the light. Well, how can we walk in the light? Because Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. Jesus is the light. And he's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He is the light. But look at what a great light he is. Jesus, as the light, turns around and says, you, the church, you are the salt of the earth. He turns around and says, you, the church, you are the light of the world. Wait a minute, Lord. I thought you were the light. He's saying, yes, because you are me in the world today. I need you to walk right. I need you to talk right. I need you to live right. I need you to love right. I need you to help my brothers. I need you to help my sisters. I need you to do the work that I've sent you to do. So he says, you are the light. And he says, you let your light shine that others might see your works and give him the glory. That's why we have to walk. That's why we have to work. That's why we got to do his will. He has empowered us to do it. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like I have power, but you do have power. If you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, we got two more who even expressed their power today because they allowed us to baptize them. They were baptized as a symbol of the power that lives in them. And the Word of God tells us, and now God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in us. He's given us power to do the work we gotta do. He's given us power to love like we ought to love. He's given us power to give like we ought to give. He's given us power to forgive like we need to forgive. He's given us power to do everything he's called us to do. We ought to tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your grace. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that give me strength from day to day, it will never, ever lose its power. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder-working power. We come to celebrate the power of the blood. We come to celebrate the power of the body. We come to celebrate what God has done for us that we could not do for ourselves. We come to celebrate that no matter what we're going through, He allows us to walk in Him. He allows us to walk it out. He allows us to walk in the light, because He did die. The Bible says He died. He died. He died for all of your sins and all of my sins. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed Him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night Saturday night. But early, the Bible says early on Sunday morning, when the light started shining, the light got up. Early on Sunday morning, He got up with all power. Power over the grave. Victory over death. He ascended into heaven. Sent back the Holy Ghost to live in us, who empowers us to walk in the light, empowers us to do what's right and pleasing in His sight. We can walk in the light. And it's a great time to come to Him. If there's anybody who hasn't come already to the light, you got a chance to come. Whatever you've been through, you can come to Him. No matter if you're weary, no matter if you're sad, no matter what you've been through, Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Won't you take your time to come? There may be those right now who want to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You may be watching online. If you are, just go ahead and type to that number that you see on the screen. Go ahead and type saved, S-A-V-E-D. If you want to accept Christ into your life, pray this prayer with me to accept Christ. And if you're in this building, while the choir was singing, we invite you to come walk down the aisle that you can accept Christ on today. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've done that, let us know. We'll share with you. Let us know that you've accepted Christ. And if you're here on today and you want to accept Christ, you want to be a member of First African Baptist Church, just come on down the aisle. Give us your hand. Give God your heart. Won't you come?
Jesus said,
come to me
whenever you get lonely. All you have to do is just stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. Right there. Right there. I'll be here if I will. I came that you might have life. And you can have it more abundantly. Come on to me. My favorite verse. Jesus said, come to me. I promise not to leave you. Oh, by your side, right by your side, forever I will be if I will. I'll be right there. Right there. Whenever you feel a little weary. So whenever you need a friend, come to me. Jesus said, come to me. Whenever you get lonely, all you have to do is just stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. Right there, right there. Yes, I will. I came that you might have life. And you can have it more abundantly.
Whenever you need a friend,
come on to me.
Come to me.
Whenever you need a friend, so whenever.
Whenever you need a friend.
Come on to me.
Come on to me.
Come on to me. Just come on to me. So whenever.
Come
on to me.
I'll
never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Come on to me. Come on to me. Come on. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Whenever you need a friend, just come to me.
Let's stand for our benediction. Thank you all so very much. Sister, who? Okay. Sister Ellis from First Bryant. Where's Sister Ellis? Sister Ellis from First Bryant? Hey, amen. God bless you. The wife of late Reverend Edward Ellis. God bless you. Glad to have you worship with us as well. Thank you. Any others? I can't really see y'all, so anybody else want to make sure? All right. God bless you. Thank you all for coming to worship with us on today. To God be the glory. Who? Amen. All right. We're praying with Brother Kevin McPherson. Done with treatment. God bless you. You let me know that. Hallelujah. I mentioned him, but I didn't show him by name. Baptized Christian. Raise your hand. Baptized today. Baptized tonight. And what's his other name? And Clifton Bradley. He was here. Okay, he just walked out. All right. Let's pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, we thank you. We love you. Thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. Thank you for this opportunity to fellowship together. Thank you, God, that we can walk in the light. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. That we're not perfect, but we're working and walking toward maturity, God. Help us to get closer every day that you might get the praise, the honor, and the glory. Now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen,
amen.
And praise God. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.